Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, the time has come once again for your children to exalt your heavenly name. Father God, I come to you humbly as a man of this earth and as a vessel for your divine word and Holy Spirit. Use me, Lord. I surrender all to thee. In your Son Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, I would like to invite you to open up your imaginations with me this morning. Amen. I want to paint a picture for you, just a reimagining, if you will. So just take a trip with me today. The day and the year are unknown. It's a time of peace, and the scene is a beautiful vineyard, acres wide, acres long, filled with growing fruits. Many people, some men, some women, some young boys, some young girls, of all creeds and all colors, are tending and feeding with joy and various fruits in this vineyard on their own accord. Sin is no more. On the far right, on the eastern side of the vineyard, there are rows of farmland with many different crops. And even further sits a lovely multi-level home. And on the opposite side, on the far left western side of the vineyard, there's a small hill, no more than about 25 feet away from the last row in the vineyard. And on that hill is a tree, a large tree that sits about 25 feet high. That also bears many different fruits. Under this tree, in the cool of the shade provided by the branches from the tree, there's a crowd of people facing toward the tree, some sitting, some standing, all together in harmony, holding the firm and undivided attention of this crowd is a special man. He's facing the crowd with the tree to his back. Now, by all accounts, everyone in this crowd would be considered very special, but this one particular man held a very significant and purposeful life that suited the needs of someone who cared deeply for him. As the crowd began to gather and more onlookers grew and the crowd grew in size, a young girl who was standing near the edge of the eastern side of the vineyard enjoying a delectable grape begins to walk over to the crowd to get a better view and a vantage point to hear what's going on. What has everyone's attention? As she draws closer, she can hear the bass in the man's reassuring voice speaking to the crowd. The words are inaudible, so she draws even closer. She slips and she weaves between bystanders and to bear witness to the origin of the voice, yearning to hear the words clearer. As she makes her way to the front of the crowd, she hears a woman ask the significant man who's standing by the tree a burning question I'm sure many in the crowd were eagerly anticipating to ask the man. Something many of the people amongst the crowd had not beheld in their lifetimes. The question that was asked of the man was, Elijah, can you tell us about the time when you called upon the power of God Almighty himself and he revealed himself to you, resurrecting a young boy from the dead? As the young girl who had finally made her way to the front of the crowd turned her head from the young woman who asked the question to Elijah, she noticed Elijah's facial expression lit up with joy. And so she too became overwhelmingly interested in the answer to come. Elijah, simply smiling before revealing his answer, says to the young woman who asked the question a phrase that is also the title of today's sermon. Elijah says to the young woman who asked the question, knowing in his mind that he is going to eventually tell the full story for the umpteenth time of how the Lord sent him away from Ahab to the brook and then to the shelter with the widow and her son in Zarephath, and how God extended the jar of oil and the band of flour belonging to the widow woman so that the two items would never run out while the drought was upon them, and how the son of the widow became ill and he died, and how the woman forsake Elijah for dwelling with them, thinking he was sacrificing her son for her very own sins, and how Elijah questioned God's motives, asking the Lord Lord, have you brought this tragedy upon this widow? The same woman you sent me to for survival will open her doors for me. Elijah was more than prepared to answer the young woman in the crowd's eager question. All the while, he replayed the events in his mind, the same events that were recorded in our text this morning and found in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 24. Specifically, verses 21 through 24 state, he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried out, and the Lord said, and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray, let the child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived him. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room in the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that word of the Lord of your in your mouth is the truth. Elijah going through these scenes one by one in his head, and imagine with me now, Elijah just smiles at the young woman and he speaks. You just had to be there. I want you to repeat it with me every time I say it this morning, please, church family. Today's sermon is titled, you just had to be there. Oh, bless his name. If you've never heard this phrase before, Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines the idiom or phrase, you had to be there, as a phrase that is used to say that people cannot understand something because they did not experience it or see it for themselves. Most commonly used when a joke happens real time and someone walks up to the joke late. You're joking around with your best friend and they ask you to tell the joke again, and it just isn't as funny the second time around. So you say to the person, I'm sorry, you just had to be there. Or as of late, it's gained traction on social media as a popular meme, spelled M-E-M-E. Or a meme is a humorous image or a video or a text that is copied and spread around social media and internet blogs. And lately, memes have been circulating, recalling 80s and 90s and early 2000s nostalgia, such as CD Walkmans or cassette tape Walkmans. Some of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. But it has the caption tag, you just had to be there. Now, I know someone is probably thinking, wait, did he just start his sermon? I'm aware that time is important to us all, but trust me, I won't be a thief. I'll be brief. Amen? I won't commit a crime, just leave me a moment of your time. Amen? I assure you, just stick with me now, because some of us here have been in Elijah's position before, and some of us are currently there, and we may not even know it. How many of us can think on a time where we were in a position where we felt compelled to an assignment by God, drawn by his leading hand to that assignment? Or we prayed on the situation that we were stepping into, asking for God's favor to make sure you were making the right decision and that it aligned with his will. Or we were going through the heartache and the day-to-day motions of losing a loved one and we needed his consoling. Or we were taking a stand for what you feel is the Christ-like thing to do to defend an oppressed person like the African-American community or Palestinians, regardless of their religious belief. Or when you got into your current situation, or when you were going through it, you were full of doubt. And when even the very people placed in your circumstance to stand in it with you were full of doubt. And when the situation seemed failing or the environment got sick and your assignment went cold and lay there lifeless and you had to think to yourself, wait a second, God, did you bring me into this? And you said to your people, God, in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. And so in your low moments, you cried out with your prayers as Elijah did. You cried out in your conscience. You cried out while you were washing the dishes, and you cried out while you were folding the laundry and doing chores. chores around the house. You cried out while you were mowing the lawn. You cried out on your commute to work. You cried out while you were sitting in the car decompressing for 10 to 30 minutes before going into your own house. You cried out when you saw the person who wronged you. You cried out when your pride was humbled. You cried out when your ego was bruised. You cried out when the plan was not going accordingly. Cried out, God, I prayed as Elijah did. God, help me through my situation. God, you said you can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. God, help me. God, I felt you place me here and now I'm in a mess. God, help me. And you felt like your cries seemingly went unheard or fell on deaf ears because your situation wasn't revived on the spot like the boy, or vice versa. Before you could finish your cries, your entire situation was flipped around 180 degrees. I could imagine that when Elijah, one of the very few chosen who ascended into heaven without losing his life, if he were able to repeat this story over and over again to God's children, if he has any memory of it when we enter the kingdom of heaven, that Elijah would have thought to himself, the same way we think to ourselves. You weren't there when I went through some tough times, but God. You weren't there when my faith was shaken, but God. You weren't there when my situations didn't always make sense, but God. You weren't there when I doubted the assignment God gave me, but God. You weren't there when I cried out to him, oh Lord, and he performed miracles on my behalf. But God, you weren't there when I was at my lowest low. But God, you weren't there when I wanted to end it all. But God, I would imagine Elijah would say, if you would just have the faith of a mustard seed and give your life to Christ and believe in him, you will experience firsthand what it's like to be pulled out of a situation that you feel stuck in, that you feel hopeless in. You would know exactly what Elijah went through. You just had to be there. But God, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm sure Elijah would have shouted, when we let go of our problems, we can finally let God fix them. When we let go of our hurt, we can finally let God heal us. When we let go of our fear, we can finally let God sustain us. When we let go of our worries, we can finally let God bless us. Elijah would probably smile and speak, my brothers and sisters, you just had to be there. I'm not in your front yard this morning yet, but let me step a little closer. All right. When someone attending this church lost their mother, you just had to be there when God introduced them to an amazing soul like Sister Wilson. Amen. Somebody knows what I'm talking about today. You just had to be there when I lost my father, Tim, to cancer, and God sent comforting words from strangers and family to help me heal. You just had to be there when my wife and I lost everything in the great flood of 2016 here in Baton Rouge and gained it all back within a year. You just had to be there when I lost my job for 8 months and God gave us other sources of income for my wife and I to pay every single bill and feed our children until we were back on our feet. You just had to be there when my depression hit an all-time low and God found ways for me to channel my thoughts into positive actions. You just had to be there when my very own marriage was on the brink of divorce and God assured me that he would redirect and reconnect my wife and I. You just had to be there. Somebody in here knows what I'm talking about today. You've been through some very real situations. You're going through some very real trials. You're dealing with some very real losses. You might be having some very real mental health issues. You may even feel like God isn't there with you and that the people you depend on most aren't even standing in the situation with you. But children of God, the Bible reassures us with the word, and the word is truth. And the word says, be not dismayed, for he is our God. He will strengthen us. Yes, he will help us. And he will uphold us with his righteous right hand. Is there anybody here this morning who can get on their feet and put their hands together for the great and powerful name of Jesus? The word declares that he will never leave you or forsake you. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases our strength. When you pass through the waters, he will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor will the flame scorch you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against your judgment shall be condemned. The Bible says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And my God will meet all your needs as the land you're according to the riches of the glory in Christ Jesus. If my people who are called by my name, Elder Wilson, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. And the Lord, Elder Poshane, he says that I am the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Of the Lord's, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Mama, plans to give you hope and a future. The great name of Jesus. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. My brothers and sisters, although we weren't there to witness Elijah the great prophet perform miracles in God's name, or to witness Jesus walk this earth in all his glory and perform miracles, I have faith that we will stand side by side if we believe in him, our Lord and Savior. As Elijah believes, so will I believe that this same Jesus who was born of a virgin is coming back for you and me. The same Jesus who stilled the raging seas is coming back for you and me. The same Jesus who fed the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread is coming back for you and me. The same Jesus who walked on water is coming back for you and me. The same Jesus who stood in the fiery furnace and protected 3 Jewish boys is coming back for you and me. The same Jesus who conquered the grave is coming back for you and me. The same Jesus who sacrificed his life in order that we might have life eternal is coming back for you and me. This morning, you just had to be there.